Hello, dear listeners. This is Scala Valentines, and today we're going to discuss a lot of Scala news and Dotty news. And in my virtual studio, I have Grigori.
Hey, everyone.
And Adam Warski. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Hey, so let me start with a little promotion of the conference we care a lot about. Cloud navigators and serverless gurus, algorithm wizards and community advocates, we proudly bring you the women creating the tech world we live in. October 19th, live at Manning, Women in Tech Conference, Twitch Conference. Everyone connect and listen to these women. That's going to be fantastic.
That is October 13th.
What did I say?
19th?
19th.
It's 13. Sorry. Okay.
It's not even a week off. It's 6 days.
Yes. Close enough. So 13, okay. Remember. So, and the first news we want to start with is that Dotty becomes Scala 3. Finally, it's official. And all the dependencies now should, the artifact names will be changed from Dotty to Scala 3, blah, blah, blah. And I congratulate everyone.
I was skeptical that it's going to happen this year, that we are going to have any Scala 3 release, but it's happening. So that's very, very good. And yeah, congratulations. You know, the times are difficult and having a timely release is even more of an achievement, I guess.
Yeah.
We're also not allowed to name it Dotty anymore, right?
Yes, so we need to call it Scala 3. Do you think it's still real that they will do that in this year, the first release candidate?
People will use the M1 anyway.
Okay, milestone one. Anyway.
I would expect the first Scala 3 M1 production system to be live by the end of the year or something like that, probably.
But they're saying that this change will be part of the next Dotty release planned for October 1st, not 19th, which will be known as Scala 3 Milestone 1. Fantastic.
Oh, Milestone is not a release.
Yeah, it's not, but something. Anyway, we have another news about Dotty, about Scala 3. Sorry. There is an article from Scala Center. That it is Scala 3 is a community powered release, and we see a lot of thanks to different people and contributors, everyone who was involved in that. Thank you very much. And what else? Yeah, they say that there are 52 projects. Different language features, tools, migration, performance, and documentation. So everyone is working on that. And
I guess it's definitely a step in the right direction that the Scala Center takes the lead here.
Yes.
Making this a broad initiative because, you know, it's a language that needs to be taken care of. So it's good if there's some organization, like I guess Scala Center is the natural leader here that would actually be the leader.
Yeah, and Grigori wants to add something about the Scala Center Advisory Board.
Yeah, and also the Scala Center Advisory Board companies are supporting Scala 3 release in different manners and capacities. So all already known companies like Lightband, Virus Lab, 47 Degrees, they also offer some additional engineering resources to help the Scala 3 release happen.
Yeah, which is really nice. You can work at these companies and in fact work on language support, so that's fun.
I'm also very happy that type level is getting closer to Scala, well, in some way, and all libraries...
Scala 3, you mean?
Scala 3, for sure. Oh, I already switched my mind to naming Dotty.
Maybe we should stick
Scala
to Dotty after all.
Well, yeah, Dotty is Scala 3 and all libraries like cats, affix, cats, everything will be ported to Dotty and supported natively. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, there is a lot of migration work ahead, for sure.
And lots of people from the Scala community, like Travis Brown, they put lots of effort into bringing other libraries up to the Scala free compatibility. They work on source improvements, on CATS improvements. So that's all very complicated, and it's even more complicated to maintain cross compatibility with Scala 2 and Scala 3.
Well, as long as you don't have any macros, it's doable. Sometimes you have to sacrifice some code purity and make it not as nice as you might wish it to be, so that it's compatible with both Scalas. But it's doable.
And there was something with implicits. Do you remember the Scala tests upgrade? I think for a long time it was impossible to use Scala tests under Dotty. And after that, Travis Brown released his own version of Scala test, and only after that Scala test was published for Dotty, so all implicits will work.
I don't know. I started trying to migrate to Dotty only after Scala test started working. So before that happened, I didn't even attempt that task. So I can only say it's working now. Maybe it didn't before, which is probably not that surprising. But now Scala test works with Dotty, Scala 3, and most of the time.
Yeah, I would like to add that macros are really broken sometimes in Dotty. I haven't noticed regressions. So like in minor Dotty versions, like in Dotty 0.22, something worked, and in 27, something was accidentally broken. And this happens every time, and it's really tough.
It is going to be an M1 release, right? Which kind of suggests it's not that stable. But on the other hand, if you do report a bug, it's usually fixed quite quickly. At least the two bugs I've reported, they've been fixed quite quickly. So.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I also filed a bug a while ago, and it was responded, and they're tracking it now, and that it was even assigned, so it will be probably resolved sooner or later.
Yeah, and we have a card about mixing macros with Scala 2 and Scala 3. So there is that repo from Scala Center where you can see how you can play with Scala 2 and Scala 3 mixed repo. But basically what you do, you have... Yeah?
Oh, go ahead.
Basically what you do, you have different folders for different Scala versions.
Yeah, different source directories, which I use depending on the version. Yeah, so across... That way you can cross compile, yeah. And there's also things you can't do in Scala 3 macros that you can do with Scala 2 macros. So it's not going to be able, you aren't going to be able to port everything. Like MacWire, for example, won't be ported to Scala 3 because it's simply not possible.
Yep. So let's go to the next topic then.
What do we have?
Another example of how you can use Dotty with something. In this case, it's Scala.js, but you need a working Node.js to try it out. And you can find the links in our show notes for that.
They will need to rename the repository to Scala.js, Scala.js though.
Yes.
That's the most important thing now about branding.
Well, you need to have a consistent message in your marketing, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure why is that required. Are there any issues with Scala.js and Dotty, or there are just not enough people to maintain Scala.js with Scala free?
I would guess that Scala.js works on the level of ASTs already, right? So everything is parsed, so that's a different backend. So maybe you know something, probably. Is there are some minor changes in the AST and what the backend needs to handle. So yeah, I would expect some work to be done there, but apparently I guess it wasn't that hard maybe, or it didn't take that much work since it's already there. But that's good news for the community. We are waiting for Scala Native now.
Yeah.
Well, probably it will take a lot of time for Scala Native to migrate to Scala 3. Is there a Scala 2.12, a Scala Native release, or it's still in 2.11 times?
It's still in 2.11, but I think Virtus Lab is working on porting it to Scala 2.12. and it was supposed to be released like this month or the next one. So maybe, you know, once they get up to speed with the code base, they will be actually able to migrate it to Dotty as well in a finite amount of time. And I think it's going to be their next target, but yeah, nothing's set in stone, of course.
It looks a little bit sad, like code contributions were decreased incredibly by the end of the 2019 year, and Scala Native, the last release was 0.4.0 M2, which was in May 2019. It's like a pretty sad story for Scala Native.
Yeah, but there is development happening. Maybe it's not visible over here, like in the GitHub, in the main GitHub repository yet. But there is some, and also Scala Center got involved in that. So there's hope for Scala Native, and I guess it would be really nice to have, you know, all three platforms working. It's good not to be tied only to the JVM, even though most of the time you use JVM. But
yeah, I think that after GraalVM appeared, probably the attractive, though, like pleasure of using Scala Native is a little bit, it decreased a little bit, I think, because you can still write in Scala, build up a native image, and it may work, it may not work. Well, they say it works.
Oh, I've spent a long hours trying to make a native image work. And it's not a nice task because native image takes like a minute or more to actually create the native library. And that's even slower than the Scala compiler, and much slower. And then you run it and it turns out you didn't add an exception because there's some library somewhere deep inside that actually uses reflection and it needs to add the exception to the GraalVM configuration. So it's a painful process.
Good news. It means that Scala Native should be released.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, there's definitely space for it. I guess if I wanted to run Scala on, I don't know, a Raspberry Pi or something like that, my first choice would be Scala Native, not GraalVM.
All right, let's go to the next topic. I think we already covered it during our previous episode. It's again related to SBT release, and there are too many releases of SBT nowadays. It's SBT 1.4.0 RC2. It's just an improvement of the previous RC release. And as a reminder, the whole goal of the 1.4 release is to add build server protocol support, which will offer us some improvements in terms of compile time because there will be some servers running in background. So SBT will be able to compile code much faster, and support of SBTN, which is a native thin client for SBT. So there would be no more of these long await times. Sometimes it happens you're starting SBT and it takes a couple of seconds just to start it up without even fetching the dependencies. So we'll see
how it always happens, not sometimes happens.
Oh yeah, it happens always. I mean, you can about it. And it's not a couple of seconds. It's, let's be realistic, it's more than 10 seconds sometimes. Well, not sometimes, usually. And the more projects you have in your, the more modules and sub-projects you have in your project, the longer it will take to compile it. I remember that when I used SBT, before the SBT 1 release, I heavily abused this thing that you could create build SBT files in projects, in sub-project subfolders, so you could separate the dependencies and just, you know, if you need to find all dependencies for this sub-project, you're just going into the sub-project and parsing the build SBT manually, and you could split your code and your build files easily, and sometimes it was convenient. However, after I switched to SBT 1, it incredibly increased this started type because SBT manually walked into all models directories, parsed the build SBT file, and it took like another couple of seconds to compile, to interpret these SBT files. So obviously I understood why these SBT files in sub-projects were not supported, because the new SBT 1 logic just completely removed all benefits of store and build SBT files into projects.
Yeah, I guess not many people do it nowadays, right?
I think it's, yeah, I would not recommend that to do. It can increase SBT start times incredibly.
Yeah, but it's really nice to see, and it's really good to see SBT being developed still after Lightband, I guess, finished supporting it. I guess Eugene now does it on more like a community basis. So it's great that it's still evolving. You know, it's you may like SBT or you may not like it, but it's still very central to everything we do in Scala.
Yeah, it's still a default thing.
It is still the default, and it most of the time it works really well, unless you need to do something really weird, then well.
Yeah, really weird, just to add your command, and you already don't know how to do that. And even if you knew a while ago, probably something have changed and something was broken, so you need to go into documentation, find some examples in the repository, and examples probably outdated, but still.
Yeah, that's true. It is challenging, but most of the time it works. So it's just, I guess the startup time would be the biggest pain point. Let's see how it works. Maybe, you know, my worry here would be that after running the native client 10 times, the server will fall over because of, I don't know, out of memory or something like that.
Or a segmentation fault because it's a native application now. Yeah, I'm concerned a little bit about Coursier. I think, in my cases, Coursier sometimes still works not as expected. Sometimes I still have to disable it. I think, in my projects, I had weird dependencies where I have this dependency in Maven Central, but in reality, even though there is a POM XML file in Maven Central, there is no actual jar. So it's like some fakey, bogus dependency, and you need to provide a special URI just to help SBT to find the dependency in the correct repository. And for some reason, it seems to me that Coursier does not always handles that correctly.
I'm not surprised that it's not like the first thing they implemented, though.
I saw a couple of issues in the repositories.
Today's episode is not that positive. Macros doesn't work as you want. Scala.js. Scala native is forgettable. SBT is slow.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. No. That's all the wrong take. Come on. First of all, Scala macros work great, and they're really improved in Scala 3. I guess that's something. They just removed the stuff that was deprecated anyway for like 10 years ago.
And Coursier is much faster than Ivy. So these small things that I mentioned, they're nothing comparing to the download speeds and to compilation times with Coursier usage. Otherwise, SBT will try to download everything sequentially.
I'm very happy with Coursier, but I don't have such weird cases. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure everything works in most cases. And while you're using it as it was designed to be used.
but we all know that these weird cases happen, and that's what we do for a living, after all.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And bye-bye from Oli.
Bye from Grigory.
And from Adam. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.